You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
All right, 3 minutes past four, and it's my bi-weekly highlight. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Richard.
Delighted to see you.
I can see it by your face. Yeah.
The best of life, love, and Gatsby's.
Yeah. Liquor,
hey?
Yeah, liquor.
All right. So, hello, Jeff. How the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. How are you? You're looking great. You're looking serious, but you're looking good.
I'm never looking great.
Well, you're never serious, but I mean, apart from that, it's fine.
Well, I am when I say this is like my bi-weekly moment.
Yeah, I can see it's your highlight.
I can't wait. Yeah, I count the sleeps.
I can imagine all that. Yeah. Yeah. Till next time.
Yeah. Anyway, it's nice to have you here. Good to see you. And you've got quite a serious topic this afternoon.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Weaponizing children, and you call it the crime of parents in conflict.
Yeah, the crimes of parents in conflict. Absolutely. It's not an easy subject for us to talk about, Rich, today. Yeah. But it's there. And sometimes people don't want to know about it, or they really are not aware of it, what they're doing. Actually, so let's just talk about it. I wanted to highlight it because it's what I call a heartbreaking issue. It's urgent, and it's heartbreaking, and I wanted to shed some light on the issue and challenge parents to rise above their pain and to do what's right. And put kids first, you know. We need to understand that. Now, you know, life's not easy. It can be all wonderful. You meet somebody and you fall in love and you get married and you have kids and things don't always go right. In fact, they go right only 50% of the time generally. So, and then there's divorce and then you're angry with the other person and that's okay. But what's not okay is that we weaponize the kids in that conflict. And so I wanted to have a chat about that today. And just a warning out to parents that are going through it or either going into it or in it or coming out of it, just to be careful and maybe to listen up a little bit today and hear what it does and the dangers of using the children as weapons in an emotional and psychological battle between you and your future to be ex-spouse or ex-spouse or about to be ex-spouse. So it's a serious topic, and it just, you know, divorce doesn't just do harm to the two people involved. It does harm to the kids as well. Obviously, we know that, and it deeply scars kids when it's done incorrectly. And there's no such thing as correctly or incorrectly, but in a divorce, because it's a kind of a thing, but. Let's just be careful that we don't just concentrate on the fight we're having with our ex and the money and the conflict and the infidelity and all of the stuff that might have happened, and think about the children, because when you emotionally charge like that, the last thing you do actually is in your head are the kids. Okay, and let's just talk about that a little bit. Okay, you it scars them. When you fight and they see it, because they watch, they absorb, and they suffer while the parents are having a go at each other. And so it causes harm. And they are the silent victims of this conflict, you know, as well. And emotional warfare takes many forms, of course, Richard. It's denying access to a parent out of revenge and not out of necessity. Now, that's something that you see a lot. I won't let him see the kids. Now, if he's been abusive and there's been an issue, of course, absolutely. But if it's just
out of spite,
just not working, spiteful, I'm not allowing you to see the children, that's not cool, okay? And it's emotional warfare. Also, speaking negatively about the other parent in front of the child. Don't do that. It's unnecessary. It's your way of letting out what you feel, but it's not necessary to do that because they love the other parent. They love their parents.
And that can happen unintentionally too. I mean, you could have the kid with you and you're chatting to a friend and you forget the child is standing right there.
Yeah.
It's not like you're speaking to the child about it. It's like you're speaking to a third party and the child is overhearing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a genuine mistake and that's okay. Mm. And you can always say, listen, I was just, you know, you can always touch it up. But if it's done intentionally, also using financial support as a leverage is also emotional warfare. Making a child feel guilty for loving both parents. Remember, children, when you get divorced, all they want is their parents back again. Unless it's been a really nasty experience of maybe drugs and drinking and fighting and, you know, kids want a peaceful environment. But generally, they want their parents together. It's natural. And we forget about that, actually, when we meet other people and we go into blended families. And we wonder why the kids are playing up. Well, they're playing up because they want their parents together. That's actually what they want. And they may not understand. They might be too young. Manipulating a child's emotions to gain loyalty is also part of emotional warfare. And these behaviors might seem justified at the time, but in the heat of the moment, they're justified, right? But their long-term impact is actually devastating. So the role of the parent, you're not just... You know, you're a guardian. You're not an opponent. Okay, you're not somebody here. Parents have to be responsible, and unfortunately, when you go into conflict in a divorce, emotional issue, that responsibility sometimes goes down the toilet a little bit. Mm. And that's why it's important to have this conversation to say, wow, you know, yeah, I've actually been wrong. I've done this and I've done that, and Gerald, the little 16-year-old, 12-year-old's not handling it properly. And I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. And we have to be vigilant about children's emotional well-being. Very important. So it means keeping personal issues personal. No child should ever have to carry emotional burdens of the parent. That's one thing. You have to encourage healthy relationships. Unless there's abuse or a real safety concern, children benefit from having both parents actively involved in their lives. They're kind of like your and your ex-missus. Rich, you know, it was a good divorce, but a continue. You were both responsible. You were both looking after the kids, you know, and fostering emotional security as well. A child should feel safe loving both parents. Not worried what they say to the one about the other one or whatever. We've also had the conversation where we said kids don't bring, if you're in a blended situation, you see your one parent every second weekend, don't bring the stuff from one home to the other. It also can cause chaos, but we're not talking about that today. So how do we stop this destructive cycle? And it all starts with a shift in mindset. Now, that's nearly everything, but it starts with the mind. Children are not possessions. They are not tools for revenge. They are human beings with emotion, needs, and a right to a peaceful childhood. Absolutely. Now, we'll start thinking like that, and we'll start breaking the cycle of this nonsense. Healing and not hurting. Parents must recognize that hurting each other through the child only results in hurting the child in the end. But we work on, we go on with our lives, but the child just bears the scars, and we don't realize it at the time, I think. Seeking support, counseling, mediation is important, and communication training for the parents can help navigate conflict without making the children collateral damage to this whole thing. All right, because it's... divorce is a terrible thing, Richard. I mean, you had a reasonably good one. You were responsible and you were adults, and both of you. But a lot of people go through a very ugly divorce, and it's one of life's most difficult transitions to go through. And it brings pain and disappointment and serious conflict. Not just conflict, serious conflict. And in the midst of all of this stuff, there's one group that suffers the most, and those are the kids. Mm. Okay? So too often, kids become unintended casualties of war between the parents. And instead of being protected, they're used as leverage and they're used as messengers and they're used as even weapons in battle that was never theirs to fight. I've had a friend of mine who had this issue, and his son was withheld from him. And he took it really badly. In fact, he had to go into a rehab situation for 21 days to go and find out how to handle this pain that he was feeling. And it's not cool. It's not a, some people take it better than others, but some people just need help. So when parents let anger and resentment or the desire for control to take over, the children are caught in that crossfire. So using words like crossfire and fight and warfare, you see, it's conflict. It's not a joke. So this can take many forms, by the way. Parental alienation, turning a child against another parent by speaking negatively about them. Withholding visitations, we spoke about. Denying access to a loving parent as form of punishment. Using children as messengers, forcing them to communicate angrily or difficult messages. That's not cool. Guilt and emotional manipulation, making a child feel bad for actually loving the other parent. And financial blackmail, using child support as a tool for control rather than the child's well-being. So damage is done here. Studies have shown, Rich, that emotional and psychological damage is terrible, and it causes scars, anxiety, depression in those kids. They may feel torn and guilty or pressured to choose sides, leading to deep anxiety and depressive symptoms as well. They get low self-esteem. When a child is treated like a pawn rather than loved, they may feel unworthy, unloved, or like they are the cause of the conflict. That's a big one as well. You know, maybe it's me that caused this. If they're older kids, of course, they'll understand. But the younger kids, they don't understand this kind of stuff. And they may feel guilt about it. They may feel confused. And if one parent demonizes the other, the child might feel guilty for loving both parents, leading to an emotional turmoil there as well. So relationship and trust issues in the children as well. Difficulty forming healthy relationships. If they witness manipulation and conflict and emotional abuse, they might struggle with their own relationships as well. Fear of abandonment comes in as well. If one parent is removed from their life completely, the children might develop deep-seated fears that others they love will leave them as well. So that's a fear of abandonment. And repetition of toxic patterns. Many children of high-conflict divorces unconsciously repeat similar relationship dynamics as adults. And that's a scary thing. And that perpetuates cycles of dysfunction. Academic and behavioral problems as well at school, increased risk of rebellion. They might act out in aggression and defiance, risky behaviors as a response to their unstable home life. So this is all terrible stuff. I mean, withdrawal and isolation. Maybe they shut down emotionally, avoiding friendships and social activities due to stress or fear of what's happening around them as well. And then the long-term effects on parenting, they struggle with their own kids. Children of high conflict in studies may either avoid parenthood and say, look, I've seen what my parents went through. I'm not gonna try even go there. So they struggle to provide a stable, loving home due to unresolved trauma that they went through and you didn't even realize. Fear of marriage and commitment is another thing. Witnessing a parent's toxic dynamic might make them hesitant to commit to a relationship themselves. So every parent must make one critical decision. Will I be a protector or a participant in a war that harms my child? And every parent obviously must say, I'll be the protector on. Okay, of course. Otherwise, you're not meant to be a parent. So how can parents do better? How can we do better in this? You can separate personal pain from parenting. Yeah, and I hear easier said than done. Mm. Okay, it is. Oh, absolutely, I agree. You're going through the worst time of your life, and you're just barely hanging on, and you've got to think about this other stuff, but it's your kids, so you'll do anything for your kids. Your issues with your ex-wife are not your child's issues. Try and keep that away. Keep them out of the conflict. How can parents do better? Encourage a loving relationship with both parents. Unless abuse is involved, a child benefits from having both parents in their life. Communicate with each other without using the child in front of you or in earshot. Don't shout and scream and those kind of things if you can. Seek support and mediation if you can. And every decision is based on one question. So every decision the two of you make is based on one question. Is this the best for my child? Look, you've got to look after you. We don't like each other anymore. We can't live together anymore. We don't want to live together anymore. But what is the best for my kid? What is the best way of handling this for the child? So divorce may end a marriage, but should never destroy a child's sense of love and security as well. And children are not weapons. They are not bargaining chips. Please, please, the parents. And I've been through it, and I know what this means. I know how you go through this stuff. And the protection of the children is very important. And you will make mistakes. Make no mistake. You will make mistakes. Because if you're doing this for the first time, you're divorcing for the first time, mistakes will happen. But will you choose to fight for your child's well-being instead of against your ex? That's the question. Will you choose love over bitterness? So our child's future depends on the choices we make today. So we need to choose very, very wisely. And the end of a marriage does not mean the end of responsibility to their kid's emotional being. You've got to handle this well. You respect the child's right to love both parents. You keep adult conflicts away. You look for therapy or mediation, and you make decisions based on the child's well-being. Every child deserves to be loved freely without conditions, without manipulation, and without fear of being a weapon in somebody else's battle. So make a conscious decision to break the cycle, be the protector, the guide, the safe space that child needs. Because in the end, children aren't your weapon. They are the future. So, finally, let's not send them into the world wounded from battles they never chose to fight and that they didn't deserve. And that's really it. And it gives me goosebumps to say that, but it's so real. And it is a decision that you make as parents.
Going through it, I was listening to what you were saying. And essentially, it's common sense.
Essentially.
It's common sense. But the problem with common sense is this, that when emotions are running high, common sense seems to be the first thing out the window.
Absolutely.
And the temptation is there to because you're going through the separation and you kind of get yourself into a woe is me kind of scenario is one. Another is like, I'm angry, I'm going to fight the world because, you know, my marriage broke up because the world, you know, well, everybody's against me. So there's a myriad of reasons why. And we have to discount, as you say, the issues like abuse and maltreatment of a child.
Well, there's a reason sometimes that's
absolutely.
That's black or white. You've got to get out of that marriage.
Yeah.
No problem. We're not saying that.
Yeah.
No.
So there are reasons. But even there, I think that the and maybe that's a show on its own, but even there, there's a way to handle that.
Yeah.
You can't just rip a child away and then just, okay, that's it. You're never seeing your mother or you're never seeing your father again because they're abusive. Because a small child might not even understand what's abusive.
Yeah.
You know, they may feel, well, you know, this is normal, you know.
And people change over years. I mean, you never say again. I mean, a young guy at 30 – his thinking will be different at 45 or 50.
It may be, yes.
And so, look, there's so many parameters on this. All I'm saying here today, Richard, is that just protect the kids as much as you can. And I know it's difficult. What you said is absolutely right. You go through the emotional stuff. You are absolutely emotionally drained.
Mm.
I mean, I guarantee there are 99% of people who decided to get divorced when they're actually going through the process, never realized what the process was going to bring into their lives, the trauma, the heartache, the pain, the challenges, the obstacles. You don't realize when you make that decision to get divorced, you don't realize what's coming on the other side, and it hits you like a ton of bricks. Not everybody's ready. You've got a business you've got to run. You've got your kids to worry about. You've got your finances to worry about. You've got your home to worry about, and then you've got a crazy partner that's doing crazy things and emotion. It's a minefield out there, using a word of war again, but it is a minefield. And We need to help each other. If we're going to get divorced, let's try and be civil. Try and be civil when we talk about the children, because they are the innocent ones in this thing. They didn't ask for this.
Mm.
And if we can just try and make it a little bit easier, and if this conversation we're having just triggers a little glimmer there that, okay, we need to calm down as our, we need to talk about this. The kids are getting they're getting scarred here, or they're getting upset, or they, whatever I said there is happening. We have to be a little bit more careful when we do what we're going to do. But yeah.
And it'll differ with different children at different age groups.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and how you deal with that. But at the end of the day, a broken home has a tremendous impact on a child.
Yeah.
How they interact with people at school, how they interact with their teachers, how they do act out. And the responsibility, I mean, you got married at some point, or you got together and you had a child.
Yeah, and you loved each other when you found, when
yes,
you were there.
Yes.
You loved each other.
Yes. But at the end of the day, the child didn't choose to come into this world. You have a responsibility towards them, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you deal with it with a 16-year-old different to what you would deal with a 3-year-old. But the because levels of understanding are different. But at the end of the day, it's not the child's fault.
Exactly.
And you cannot, it should be a crime to use a child as a weapon in a divorce proceeding.
Hence my heading, the crimes the parents commit.
And I think that our courts are very good at sometimes dealing with that.
They are.
And trying to find a balance. But not every one of these conflicts ends up in front of a sort of balanced judge or balanced environment where, but as you say, a counselor can help, and sometimes maybe for the children, a counselor.
Mediation can help. And I mean, obviously, you know, you have things like an example of, let's say a husband, an ex-husband is not paying his maintenance.
Mm.
Okay, now the courts are good because, you know, you can go to jail for that, right?
Mm.
But he's not paying his maintenance, he refuses, and the people have to go to court every month to try and get the measly $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is. And that's not a man, okay?
Mm.
Look after your children, and I understand you don't want to pay to your ex-wife, because I get that. But don't not want to pay for your kids.
But the problem with that scenario is this, is it starts to trigger a response. So I don't think that maybe they do, I don't know, I didn't experience it firsthand, but you know, parents get divorced, and I don't know whether there is this instant, I'm going to turn my child against you, or, you know, I'm not going to let my child contact you. But when somebody does something like that, then the child becomes a weapon, because then the mother in this scenario says, well, you know what, if you're not going to pay maintenance for your child, you should have no right to see the child. Now, that is wrong.
There we go. That's what happens. That's reality.
Yeah, that is reality, but that is wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. But it may be the only weapon that person has.
Yes.
But find something else. And that's what I'm saying in this conversation.
Yes.
You know, don't use them. It's
not right to use them for that type of thing. And I do get very, very angry when I see that happening, and I have to bite my tongue, because, you know, generally it's not my business. But that is why whenever there is, you hear of a couple that got married and getting divorced, the first question people ask, were their children involved?
Mm, of course.
Because it has a massive, massive impact on the child.
It does. It does. Absolutely. And then, you know, finances play a big role in this. I mean, schooling and private school, coming out of private school, mom's got to handle all the stuff now, maybe. Or it's a nightmare. I mean, we this is what our program's all about, is trying to get people to wade through all of this stuff in life that hits you. But this is a particular one. All I want to say is just
be aware of it.
And if you know somebody going through a divorce, just remind them.
Yeah.
Just remind them a little bit.
Yeah. Put the kids, you almost got to ring fence them.
Yeah.
And put them in a sort of separate category of conversation. You can be at each other about maintenance, or, you know, who's going to get the car, and are we going to sell the house?
Yeah.
You can go hammer and tongs at that, but you have to have this ring fence around the children.
Yeah, and I mean, back in our day, I mean, we pretty much similar age. There was one or two divorced kids in a class, right?
Mm.
I mean,
maybe, now there are plenty.
Maybe now 80% of the
classes,
it's got an issue, and so it's better in that way because you know, like, you can relate to your mates and my dad as well and whatever. But times have changed, and the scarring hasn't. And the pain that we inflict, maybe unconsciously, has not changed. And so just be aware.
Right. And I think when we look at it yesterday, we had Steve Reed in here and talking about the growth mindset. And his wife, Dale, was a teacher for 35 years. And she's a very progressive teacher, progressive thinking teacher. Well, a lot of respect for the work that she has done. But a teacher can play a role here. Teachers need to be listening to what we're saying here because they will identify the behavior. They will identify the possibilities that this child is being used as a weapon in a divorce and maybe then try and find solutions and things like that. So teachers play a vital role. They really do.
They do, but it's not their it's not their job to bring up our kids. You know, we need to
I agree with you, but if they're spotting this.
No, absolutely.
If they're spotting
the spotter, 100%.
Yeah, then they can sort of maybe get talk to one parent, talk to the other parent, or get somebody to do it. It's a very, very complex situation. Not going to be solved in the half an hour we've got together.
No.
But the bottom line is you're absolutely right. The children are not – it's not their fault, and they should not be used as a weapon in a conflict between two exes.
Yeah, they're the princes and the princesses, and they got to be treated as such.
All right. Well, there we go. Thank you very much for that. Are you going now?
I'm going now because you pretty much cut us off now. But it's fine. It's okay.
No, it's time.
We came to the end of it, and
it's time.
We've said our say.
Yeah, I think it's an important topic. It really is an important topic, and people need to understand. Okay, here's a comment. The court system, social services, etc., is completely skewed in favor of the mother. On a disgusting scale, it has allowed women to behave in a despicable way with no consequences. It seems equal rights is a one-way street when it comes to divorce. I've experienced this firsthand. I think that there is truth in that.
Absolutely truth.
There is truth in that, but I think that the courts are getting better.
They do. Where the kids are at home, or if the kids are with the mom, they will skew to that. And generally what happens, the kids normally stay with the mother. They don't generally go with the father. I would say it's probably a 70-30 kind of story. And then they skew where the kids are. I think that's what happens. And you can get on the end of that. That's why I said, you know, if you've got maintenance, pay it. Have a nice relationship.
This is the point. The point here is that if you are doing the right thing, there is really no need for the court.
Yeah.
If you are doing the right thing, if you are putting the children first, if you are doing what it is, and the other party must also respect. Generally, maybe you have lost your job, maybe you have that needs to be addressed.
All real.
It's all real. It needs to be addressed without bringing the child into it.
You see, when you're arguing with that ex-wife, you're not talking nicely. You know, you are using minimal sentences and having the minimal conversation you can have. So communication then breaks down as well, and that also causes a lot of conflict and continual conflict.
But I do agree with that that statement. Very, very often the courts do favor the mother, favor the woman.
Yeah. To the judges, the magistrates at the time.
And it's all too often the case.
Yeah.
And sometimes a father's rights, and this happens particularly when there's been not a marriage, but a birth, and the father's not active. Those kind of,
There's so
many stories here. Oh, but
guys, if you're going through it, just to say cheers, because I am going out now. I have to leave because Richard's pointing towards the door. But if there's anybody out there having issues like this, please get some help. Go and get a therapist or go and get a really good friend that knows what they're doing and have somebody you can talk to, because it is real and it will affect you emotionally. And we want you to get through this, you know, both of you, with the family intact as much as possible. You know, much as possible.
It's a very, 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 very tricky situation. But again, I come back to this. Common sense goes out the window when emotions run high, and if those emotions are running high at the cost of the child, then you need to look at what you're doing and be try and be mature about it, but it's not the easiest thing in the world.
A little bit more aware will help solve it.
And that's why you're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just that's why you're talking about it. Thank you for the comments. Adults get divorced, not children. They're just a casualty. That's a comment that's come through. And that is so true. That sums it up.
That's what we just said. Thanks, everybody.
All right, Jeff. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, Rich. Have a good one.
I'll count the sleeps.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye.